Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Be it resolved by the House of Representatives of the Legislature of Alabama that while grieving the death of Mother Mary Angelica of the Annunciation, we are extremely grateful for her abundant life, and we offer this resolution in highest tribute to her indelible legacy as well as in heartfelt sympathy to her loved ones.
It is a Wednesday morning. It's April 6, 2016, and what you just heard is a little bit of audio or natural sound and some voting going on in the Alabama State Legislature yesterday afternoon in Montgomery, Alabama, where lawmakers there passed a special resolution honoring the one, the only, Mother Mary Angelica. A very beautiful story, and thanks to Elena Rodriguez for sending us that audio. And we had several members of the EWTN team there, including Michelle Johnson, who's our communications director, Elena, and some other folks as well. Doug Keck is going to be joining us toward the end of the program today, of course, the chief operating officer of the network, to give us the full perspective on, well, you know, here we are a few days after the funeral of Mother Angelica. I'm sure Doug is still emotionally drained, as are most of us. It was an incredible week, but it's so great to see people outside of the Catholic sphere recognizing the incredible contributions of Mother Angelica. We'll have a little bit more detail in the news coming up this morning in about 15 minutes. We're also going to be talking to our friend Steve Ray. I believe, Andrew, is Steve still in Israel? I think he's still overseas. Yeah, he's in the Middle East right now. So we'll catch up with him. It'll be good to speak with Steve and find out the latest in his travels. We're also doing a trip both to Poland in August and then also Mother Teresa's canonization in September. So Steve will be joining us. And he'll take your calls and questions regarding the faith. If you have a question about a particular church teaching, or maybe you're struggling with an area of the faith you're thinking of converting, or it's been on your heart, maybe you have, you know, some issues with the saints or with our devotion to Our Lady. Well, Steve's a perfect person to answer that. He is a convert. He is an author, a speaker, an evangelist, a pilgrimage leader, and you see him often on the EWTN television network, and you hear him often right here on radio. Then, as I mentioned, it is a Wednesday morning. Doug will be closing out the show, and we will go briefly to Joan in Rome, catching up with her on the fly. She has a lot of different activities going on. She's also very involved in the North American College big annual dinner and fundraiser, and she'll talk to us about that, plus some stories that are making headlines about the Pope, and, of course, the Year of Mercy. All of that plus you coming up on a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. But, again, the story about Mother Angelica and the Alabama legislature passing a special resolution is just absolutely wonderful. And what a shot in the arm for the team at EWTN and for the amazing work of an incredible woman. Let's take a look at the news and see what's happening in and around our world today on a Wednesday morning on EWTN. Well, as you just heard, and Doug Keck will be along with more details later in the hour, the Alabama State Legislature passing a special resolution honoring EWTN's foundress, Mother Angelica, yesterday afternoon in the state's capital of Montgomery.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we adopt this resolution with co-sponsors.
All right. The gentleman, Mr. Shedd, now moves to suspend the rules and for immediate adoption and also for all members to be added as co-sponsors. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. And the motion carries, and all members are listed as co-sponsors.
Awesome. Mother Angelica was the only woman, by the way, in TV history to found and lead a cable network for 20 years. The mayor of Hanceville, along with several EWTN staff members, as we said, were in attendance when that resolution was passed. Mother Angelica passed away Easter Sunday and was laid to rest Friday, April 1st. Pope Francis will visit Greece later this month to take a first-hand look at Europe's refugee crisis, a Greek government official announcing plans for the Holy Father's visit on April 14th and 15th. But the Vatican had not yet confirmed those dates. The Greek church said the Pope will visit the island of Lesbos, where hundreds of thousands of refugees have arrived in the past year. The Greek prime minister and the patriarch of the Greek Orthodox Church plan to accompany Pope Francis on his two-day humanitarian visit. An Ohio girl will get to meet Pope Francis at the Vatican today as part of her parents' guest to have or a quest to have her see the world before the little girl goes blind. 5-year-old Lizzie Myers suffers from a genetic condition that that will rob her of her sight. So her parents said they created a visual bucket list of things and places to see before that happens. They have special seats to attend the papal general audience, and that, of course, is happening today in Rome. A new law in the state of Mississippi allowing businesses to deny certain services to same-sex couples. The governor signed the measure, the Religious Freedom Bill, yesterday into law. The governor tweeting that he signed the bill to protect religious beliefs from discriminatory action. He added the law will not limit constitutionally protected rights or actions. The governor of Idaho is vetoing a bill that would have allowed public schools to use the Bible for reference purposes in instruction. The governor vetoing the measure yesterday, calling it unconstitutional. Meanwhile, the Republican governor's decision comes as Tennessee is taking steps toward making the Bible the official state book. While Ted Cruz and Bernie Sanders are celebrating big wins in Wisconsin's presidential primaries, at a rally in Milwaukee, Cruz calling it a turning point and saying the national political terrain is changing. As Joe Gomez reports on the results, Sanders says, meanwhile, he has serious momentum in the Democratic race against Hillary Clinton.
Senator Ted Cruz and Bernie Sanders win big in Wisconsin.
The national political terrain began to change 2 weeks ago. In the state of Utah, we won 69% of the vote, a landslide election.
With our victory tonight in Wisconsin, we have now won 7 out of 8 of the last caucuses and primaries.
Cruz making it more difficult for Donald Trump to wrap up the GOP nomination with a win in Wisconsin. On Fox News, Hannity, Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus, shot down the idea of an outsider sweeping in to win the nomination at a possible contested convention.
I believe the candidate, our nominee is going to be someone running. And as far as this Paul Ryan talk, let me just say it again for the 10th time. Number one, he's not running. Number two, he doesn't want to.
I'm Joe Gomez.
Political expert Dr. Sean Foreman of Barry University is saying Cruz's victory over Trump is important, but Cruz still faces a big uphill battle, he says.
The victory for Cruz is pretty sweet right now, but in the big scheme of things, Trump still has that delegate advantage.
Foreman pointing out that the Texas senator still does not have a clear path to the GOP nomination. He believes Cruz's chances of winning the nod lies in how well he continues playing up his anti-Trump messaging. Trump's loss comes after a week of missteps, including his controversial comments on abortion. Dr. Foreman says if Trump can continue to adapt to those adversities, he has a good chance of remaining the front runner. On the Democratic side, Sanders' win marks the latest, he says, in a string of victories with the Vermont senator. He now turns to New York, which holds its primary in 2 weeks. He hopes to deliver a major upset there, and if he does, it would be a game changer in the Democratic race. According to a new poll, most American voters, meanwhile, as Terry Sheridan reports, are deeply dissatisfied with the direction the country is heading. And they also feel, apparently, that public officials, as Sheridan reports, don't care too much about our needs.
The poll finds that 57% either strongly or somewhat agree with the statement that America has lost its identity, and the same number say they are falling behind economically. 62% of Americans say their values are coming under attack. The numbers are even higher for Republicans and Trump supporters. The poll was conducted between March 16th and March 21st. Terry Sheridan, New York.
FBI investigators are still examining the iPhone of one of the San Bernardino shooters. The Wall Street Journal reporting that FBI lawyer James Baker is speaking about the investigation into Syed Farouk's phone at a privacy conference in Washington. Baker saying it's too early to say whether the phone contains any valuable information for investigators. Last week, the FBI announcing it had hacked Farouk's phone. The agency was locked in a legal battle with Apple over a court order demanding the company help crack the phone's encryption. And as Scott Pringle reports, a New York Police Department stepping up security at synagogues as Passover approaches.
Police Commissioner Bill Bratton says the Jewish community will notice a larger police presence.
Adding foot posts, visits by officers to synagogues, outreach by Joanne Jaffe's community affairs officers and the precinct community affairs personnel, a heightened presence of anti-crime units,
and random visits by the counterterrorism units. Bratton also asked religious and community leaders at this annual pre-Passover briefing to watch out for and report suspicious activity.
All of us must work together to keep New York City safe. It is ultimately a shared responsibility.
Scott Pringle at Police Headquarters in New York.
Colorado authorities are worried there may be more victims after the charging of an Air Force staff sergeant on multiple sexual assaults.
That's really the large portion of why we went public at this point of the investigation, is to try to determine if there are additional witnesses or to determine if we have any additional victims that are out there, and if so, so we can get in contact with them.
That's Colorado Springs Police Sergeant John Koch, who says Staff Sergeant Desmond Martin attacked three people in Colorado Springs last year and one person this year in Aurora, Colorado. The FBI, police, and Air Force official of Special Investigations also investigating to see if Martin committed other assaults in Colorado Springs and Denver. Martin is assigned to Peterson Air Force Base but has been behind bars since February. And the White House says it has been working to fight international tax avoidance.
The president signed into law the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act. This was legislation that was targeted at countering tax evasion by U.S. taxpayers using offshore accounts.
That's White House spokesman Josh Earnest saying the Obama administration has implemented specific steps in countering some of the tax avoidance schemes that have come to light in the leaked Panama Papers. The leaked documents exposing the shadowy financial arrangements, allegedly, of several world leaders and public figures. The prime minister of Iceland resigning yesterday after leaked documents from a Panama law firm showed his wife owned an offshore company that was linked to the country's failed banks. Earnest would not comment on what's in the leaked files, on the prime minister's decision to step down. And finally, in our news segment at almost 12 minutes past the hour on a Wednesday morning, April 6, 2016, the Villanova Wildcats celebrating their national championship with a big victory parade this week, Friday to be exact, in Philadelphia. Students and fans welcoming home their heroes from Houston Tuesday afternoon. Friday's parade will run for 5 blocks along Market Street and end outside City Hall. It will be the first championship parade in Philadelphia since the Phillies won the World Series back in 2008. Villanova beat North Carolina for its second national title on Monday. When we come back, we go overseas and chat with our own Jerusalem Jones, Steve Ray. If you have a question for Steve about pilgrimage or about the Catholic faith, since he's an apologist, a very popular one at that, give us a call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We'll also check in with Joan Lewis in Rome, and then wrapping up a Wednesday morning with a very special story. Doug Keck will be joining us to talk about the Alabama State Legislature recognizing the one, the only, Mother Mary Angelica. Amen to that. We'll be right back.
So I think we're going at a great time. Poland is just going to be, as she always is, on fire for the Lord. And our pilgrims are going to see truly a faith-filled country. The devotion that the Polish people have, first and foremost, to the Eucharistic Lord, second to our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Częstochowa.
That is my pastor at St. Isaac Jogues in the Archdiocese of Detroit. His name is Father Daryl Roman. He is an amazing shepherd, and he is going to be shepherding us as we head to Poland in August. And he has a very interesting background and connection to the country. Not only is he a Polish-American, but he actually studied in Poland in the seminary and lived there for quite some time and also taught classes there, from what I understand, and has a tremendous love for Pope St. John Paul II, St. Maximilian Kolbe, and of course, St. Faustina Kowalska and the Divine Mercy message. And Steve, I know you're going to be excited to have Father Daryl join us in Poland. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Where in the world are you this morning, my friend?
Good morning, Teresa, but it's actually afternoon, and I'm in Jerusalem right now.
Are you in the hotel, or where are you?
I'm at Notre Dame. Yeah, we just got done going to the Western Wall and up to the upper room and to the Dormition of Mary. And we started the day, though, pretty early. You know, most people are not sure they want to get up this early. We started the day. You've done this with us. We started at 5 o'clock this morning.
Oh, yes.
We went on the Via
Dolorosa.
And we had the beautiful walking through the Stations of the Cross, praying with Father Scott Courtney. You know him, too.
I sure do.
And yeah, he's with us on this trip, and we went to the tomb. We had the Mass, the big high Mass at the this morning at the Tomb of Christ. So it's been a busy day and been a great week here with Amr and Sam, our driver and our guide, and beautiful weather. Oh, it's just unbelievably gorgeous here. Perfectly safe. Everybody today is out shopping in the city of Jerusalem and going to visit the holy sites and praying. I know everyone's afraid to come here, but there's no need to be. We've just had a wonderful time.
Now, this is the end, pretty much the end of the pilgrimage, because you usually wrap it up with the Mass at the tomb there, and then, of course, giving them half the day free. So are you going home? Is the group going home tomorrow?
No, tomorrow is the free day that we're actually going to be going down to the baptismal site of Jesus in the Jordan River, to Qumran. We're going to have lunch in Jericho, ride the camels, swim in the Dead Sea. Tomorrow's the fun day.
Oh, tomorrow's the fun day. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a blast.
Yeah, tomorrow's the fun day. And then everyone's coming home, and Janet and I will be coming home a day after.
All right. Well, good. All right. So we have a number of trips that we're doing together, and I always enjoy teaming up with you. We have two coming up, one in August to Poland, which I'm really excited about, and then, of course, September. And I'm really looking forward to that trip, because when we're over in Rome, I'll be able to do the show live every day from the offices of corporate travel in Rome on the canonization of Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta. But first, we head to Poland. So let's talk about why you wanted to do a trip to Poland, Steve.
Well, we've done it before, and this was before he was St. John Paul II. We went when he was just the Blessed, and he was our wonderful Pope that we had, and it was so exciting to go to his homeland. And when we went there, you know, first of all, Poland is a beautiful country. Even if you weren't a Catholic, even if you were just going over there as a sightseer and a tourist, Poland is a beautiful country. There's mountains, there's wonderful cities and rivers, and it's great. So we went there before to visit all of the sites related to the Pope John Paul II, to our Pope, and also to visit Maximilian Kolbe. He's a saint of communications, isn't he?
He is.
You've got to have a special place in your heart for him.
Oh, yeah.
And we went to the, some people think maybe this isn't so exciting to do, but we went to Auschwitz, which is the concentration camp, and went into his cell where he was. He gave his life for another man so that the other man could go home to his family. And Maximilian Kolbe did this marvelously heroic thing and said, I'll take his place in death, and actually was starved to death. Well, we go into that cell and we go through Auschwitz, and it's an amazing thing to remember back in history and to remember all of the Catholics, especially. You know, we think of only the Jews that suffered in World War II under the Nazis, but all of the Catholic martyrs and the Catholic saints, and Maximilian Kolbe and what he did there. And so we go there. We also go up into the mountains of Zakopane. This is where John Paul II went skiing. This is where he went on his vacations. And we go up there and visit these ancient churches. They're amazing, Teresa. Have you been there before, by the way?
I've been to Poland, but not to that area. I was in Poland 3 years ago when they actually, a company there, a publishing company, translated Extreme Makeover into Polish, and they brought me over to do a book tour. So it was very brief. It was only about 5 days, but we did get to the Divine Mercy Center. We went to Krakow and we went to Warsaw, but it was just very, very rushed, and I'm looking forward to going back.
I'm so excited to take you or have you come with us again on this one to share this with us, because we are going to spend more time in these places. And Zakopane is so beautiful up in the north in the mountains where he spent his summer, his vacations. He went skiing and so on. You know, he was very athletic. People don't know that. And that's one of the fun things about going with your priest, Father Roman, because he is from Poland, and he will be able to add so many insights and share so many things along the way. But the country is absolutely gorgeous, and we are going to go to Warsaw. We're going to go to Częstochowa and to Zakopane and these other places, and it's such a beautiful country. I'm really, really excited to share it with more so that you can see more of it, but also with many pilgrims who are going to be coming with us.
If you're just joining us on a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, we're chatting with, of course, pilgrimage leader, author, speaker, convert, apologist Steve Ray. His website is CatholicConvert.com, and for more information on our trips, you can go to his website, also the pilgrimage page on AveMariaRadio.net. I want to get back to something you said earlier, Steve, regarding the Catholics who died at Auschwitz, because a lot of people, as you said, not just at Auschwitz, but elsewhere, there were many Catholics and other Christians who were trying to help the Jewish people. And then there were many converts. For example, there's an amazing book that's published by Ignatius Press called on the way to Auschwitz, and it's all about St. Teresa Benedicta and companions, Edith Stein and companions. It's one of the most moving books about the plight of converts from Judaism to Catholicism, including St. Teresa Benedicta and her sister, and how they were taken to Auschwitz. And what's interesting is there's a very big misunderstanding out there about what the Catholic Church did or didn't do to help the Jewish people. And when one of the bishops in Europe spoke up against the plight of the Jews, the Germans reacted. And one of the things that they did was to get back at the bishop and the church. They arrested Jewish converts, and I'm really summarizing the story, including Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedicta, and she eventually died at Auschwitz.
That happened in the Netherlands. I know that the Netherlands stood up against the communists and did it.
Oops, Steve, are you there? Nope. Did we lose Steve? You are. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Pope Pius XII was very smart. In fact, he had an underground going, kind of like in the United States when we had Harriet Tubman and the underground going, where we were moving slaves from the south up to the north so that they could be free. But Rome did very much the same thing, and they were even giving baptismal certificates to many of the Jewish people so that, you know, that would prove that they were Christians and not Jewish. And the Vatican housed and hid thousands of these Jewish, you know, they were being chased all over Europe by the Nazis, and Rome brought them in. So people should watch the movie called the Black. What is it called, Janet? Yeah, what is it? The Scarlet and the Black.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a movie. The Scarlet and the Black, and that is a movie about how they hid and they transported Jewish people through the Vatican and helped them escape from the Nazis, and it's an amazing movie. Well, when we go to Auschwitz, we're going to talk a lot about that, and we're going to discuss Maximilian Kolbe, who was a man. There was an escape attempt, and then the Nazis picked out others who were going to die because these men tried to escape. And Maximilian Kolbe, the Catholic priest, stepped forward and said, "This man has children. I would like to die in his place."
Yes.
Can you imagine that,
yes,
Teresa? Amazing. Most people in a concentration camp are fighting for their own life and selfish and trying to get the smallest scrap of bread. And here's Maximilian Kolbe steps forward and says, "Sir, soldiers, I would like to die in this man's place." And they did. They took him and put him in a starvation cell. That man lived up until recent times.
Yes, and he went around speaking about the sacrifice of St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Yes.
He told the story.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And we're going to go to Auschwitz, and we're going to honor Maximilian Kolbe, the patron saint of communications, which I know you're excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be able to be there. And we're going to go visit the ovens. We're going to visit the whole concentration camp there, which is very moving, by the way. It's very moving. Americans should go and see this because it wakes us up to what humanity can actually do to other human beings. It's hard to believe that people can actually do this, but it's a way. It's a very sharp lesson, I think, that we have to remind ourselves of on a regular basis.
And I also think we have to look back and to see the truth about what the church did and the false reports that have been put out there in the media.
Yeah.
And I think to really look closer at the lives of these amazing saints that we have in Poland. I mean, if you look at what Poland gave us in the 20th century with Pope St. John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and St. Faustina, incredible. And we're going to be learning more about that in this trip. If you have a question for Steve Ray, if it's about a pilgrimage, if it's about the faith, please give us a call, 877-573-7825. Speaking of pilgrimage, Steve is in Jerusalem right now at the beautiful Notre Dame Center right across from the Old City, taking our calls and answering your questions on Catholic Connection. We'll be right back.
To look at the Polish people, not only the Polish people, but those living in former Eastern Europe and behind the Iron Curtain, what they did to be with the Lord, what they sacrificed, and the chances that they were taking just to be able to attend Mass or just to pray, just to express their devotion to the Lord. It's something for all of us to look and to think about.
Mm. Some more sound bites from my pastor, Father Gerald Roman, who will be our spiritual director on our pilgrimage to Poland in August. Steve Ray, of course, will be leading that pilgrimage. I'm honored to share this experience with him. If you have a question about pilgrimage in general or about the Catholic faith, phone lines are open, as they always are for you, 877-573-7825. 7825. Father Darrell is very, very passionate. You've attended Mass at our parish before. I think he's going to be a great pilgrimage leader.
I think so, too. He's what I like is that I like these priests who are very outspoken. They're strong in the faith. And to have him also be from Poland with his
And he speaks fluent Polish
knowledge.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that nice? I mean, Polish is not an easy language. It's even some of the cities are hard to pronounce when we're over there. Because, you know, I'm not a man of languages, but to have him come along with us who speaks Polish and will be able to work with us or the people, and we have this great guide, and it's just, and drivers, and the sites that we're going to be visiting, and the food, Teresa, the food, I know you already know this, some of the food is so excellent, and the holy sites, and just, I mean, Wadowice alone, the birthplace and hometown of John Paul II, we're going to visit his home. It's now a museum, and we get to go see pictures of when he was a young man and as he was growing up. And it was one thing to go there when we went a couple of years ago with a group, and it was a very beautiful, wonderful trip. Everyone was commenting on how gorgeous Poland was, how spiritual it was, how friendly the people were. You know, Teresa, you may not know this, but Janet and I went to Poland when it was still communist in 1983.
Really?
85, I'm sorry.
Wow.
And we actually smuggled into Poland Bibles and money and medicine into the Christians. We had our kids with us and my mom and dad who had just retired. And we actually drove through Checkpoint Charlie, and we drove in and we smuggled all these things into Poland to the Christians in Poznan, Warsaw, and Krakow. And the contrast between what we saw when we did that in 1985, smuggling these things into Poland in the black market, and what we saw a couple of years ago when we went and what we'll see now is total contrast between what communism can do to destroy people, destroy their hearts and minds and their culture, and what freedom does. And when these heroic Catholic people, these people that stood up against the communist regime in the Soviet Union and under John Paul II and with the help of Ronald Reagan, they opposed this, but they did it peacefully. The contrast with what Janet and I saw back in the communist days when we were there and what we see now under the freedom of Catholicism, it is a black and white difference. It is an unbelievable difference. Like, it's like watching a movie in black and white and all of a sudden having a bursting into color, widescreen technicolor.
One of the reasons I really think it's important for us to do trips like this, and whether it's in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, where you also see a lot of the persecution that's taking place against the Christians there, and you do such a great job and honor of telling us the story of the plight of the Christians in the Middle East, but also what people had to go through to keep their faith alive in terms of all types of secrecy and underground events that would happen. And I think it's a real reminder and a wake-up call for us, because so many of us in this country, despite the attacks on religious freedom, still don't think anything much is going on. Oh, we can go to Mass, you know, on the weekend, and we can have these conferences, but we see little by little our rights being taken away, and we look at what's happening with the Supreme Court, with the Little Sisters of the Poor and Priests for Life and EWTN and the HHS mandate, and, you know, the way the media cover it, they make it sound like, oh, there's an accommodation in there, and so all these religious people are just, you know, they're just wanting too much and they're too pushy. And there's certain political candidates who have already said if they get elected, they're going to make sure the churches change, because the churches have to change. And so if we think this isn't going to happen, we better wake up and smell the cappuccino, as I like to say.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, because you want to know who really understands what's going on in our country? Go to ask the immigrants who came from Eastern Europe and came from the Soviet Union and came from the countries under communism, and they easily see what's going on.
Yeah, we have two of our dear friends. One of them is a deacon. His name is Deacon Mike. And he and his wife, Kasia, are here in the United States, and they left Poland for that reason. And they say all the same things that led up to what was happening in Poland is happening right now in the United States.
Exactly. And the people who lived under these kind of governments, whether it's in China or whether it's under Nazi Germany or whether it was under the Soviet Union, those are the people who understand what's happening to America. They see it and they're giving us warnings, but most people don't listen to them, because Americans tend to be very complacent, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but the fact is we tend to be very politically correct. We tend to be very complacent, and the rest of the world thinks that we're naive, and that's unfortunately very true in many cases. And, you know, during under the Nazis, and we're going to experience a little bit of that when we're in Poland, I don't remember who said this, but said that when they came for the Jews, we said nothing because we weren't Jews. And when they came for the handicapped and the mentally retarded, we didn't say anything because we weren't a handicapped and mentally retarded. And they go through all of these different groups. And they said, finally, when they came after us, there was nobody there to speak out for us because everybody was already gone. And that's what's going to happen in America if we're not careful. If we don't begin to stand up for the rights that we are beginning to lose in our country, and we don't use our freedom to speak out to defend the freedoms that we have, there's an old saying that what you don't use, you lose.
Right.
And that's what's going to happen. One of the beauties of going to Poland is we're going to a country that is in the center of Europe that has been under attack from all sorts of problems, from the Nazis to the communists. First, they were under the control of the Nazis, then under the control of the Soviet Union. And, you know, the whole last century, these people were brutalized. You know, oftentimes, being in Israel, of course, there's the Yad Vashem, just about a 10-minute
right.
drive from here, the mm-hmm. Holocaust Museum. And most people think that under the Nazis in World War II, only the Jews died. You know, we know 6 million Jews died. But we don't know about all the Catholics that were slaughtered and the handicapped people that were slaughtered and the Polish people that were slaughtered and all the other nationalities when the Aryans and the Germans were out there to just purify the human race, so to speak. And when we're in Poland, we're going to see the courage and the humanity of these people. And even to this day, they are devoutly Catholic. Their country is beautifully Catholic and the churches that they built, and they're friendly and their food is delicious. I keep coming back to that. But, you know, their courage, Teresa, as we drive all the way through the country in Warsaw, and especially Krakow, which is the center of Christianity right. and the Catholic Church there, it's remarkable to see it. Everybody that went with us the last time came out of there saying, we had no idea.
It's a wake-up call.
Poland,
it's a learning experience.
Oh,
it really is. Yeah, yeah.
And that it was so beautiful, and mm-hmm. it was so Catholic. Just one thing, when we go under in the salt mines, did you get to go in the salt mines?
No, we didn't have time. They tried to take us there, but we had too many book signings that I had to do, and I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be phenomenal.
This is unbelievable. And it's near a place such as like the Polish Jerusalem too. It's a shrine dedicated to the Passion of Christ, and it has a miraculous icon of Mary and so on. That's unbelievable. But then we go down into the salt mine. These names are not always hard to say. Wieliszka, and it's down under the ground. And I've been in the salt mines in England, in Wales, which people were just devastated down there. It was inhumane, the inhumanity of some of the salt mines there. But in Poland, they have beautiful chapels carved into the salt. Oh,
I've seen pictures of it.
To take you.
We're really looking forward to it. Steve, safe travels back home from the Holy Land, and tell Amr and Assam that T says hi, and Father Scott, tell him thanks for the prayers and keep him coming. When we come back, we go overseas again, this time to Joan Lewis in Rome. We'll be right back on a Wednesday morning on EWTN. Stay tuned. I do hope you're having a blessed Wednesday morning. It's April 6, 2016 on EWTN. Check us out online, EWTN.com. And it's a co-production, this particular program, of EWTN and the Ave Maria Radio Network. And for information on the pilgrimage that Steve Ray just mentioned a few minutes ago, you can go to either his website, CatholicConvert.com, or AveMariaRadio.net and just hit our pilgrimage page. And we go back overseas now to our dear sister, Joan Lewis, who, of course, is in the Eternal City of Rome. And right now she's in one of my favorite spots in the Eternal City, very close to Piazza Navona. Hello.
Yes, indeed. No, it's a glorious day. It's been, finally, after some bad weather, a glorious week, blue skies and sunshine. And it's an incredible week because just in addition to my everyday work, which is enough anyway, you have the Papal Foundation in town. Mm-hmm. You have the Napa Institute on their foreign, because they always have a big conference every year in the Napa Valley, and then they have one overseas. And then Cardinal Dolan's group is here. So trying to keep up with them, meet people, sign books, and interview people and attend talks, et cetera, et cetera. It's been a challenge just to keep up, and I'm grateful for taxis.
Now, the North American College has a big dinner coming up, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night, it's the annual Rector's Dinner, and from what I learned today from my interview with John Myers, he's the executive director of the Napa Institute, and Tim Bush, who is one of the co-founders,
right. yep.
along
mm-hmm.
with Father mm-hmm. Robert Spitzer, of course, is receiving the Rector's Award. There's two awards, one to a church person, usually Archbishop or Cardinal, and then the other to lay people who've had a very lay person or couple who've had a very instrumental role at the North American College in promoting the faith, et cetera, et cetera. So I just finished the afternoon sessions with the Napa Institute. They're in the bus as we speak on their way to Mass at Cardinal Wuerl's titular church. So, and then after that, they have a combination happy hour and dinner with the Papal Foundation, all of whom will be at NAC tomorrow night. 450 guests.
Wow.
For the Rector's Dinner. Yeah. Just absolutely amazing. And you know what? I was telling John Meyer today of Napa. I said, I've only missed one of these dinners. And his eyes got so wide. And I said, there must be some kind of a prize available for those of
yeah,
us who have.
Yeah, you should get an award tomorrow night.
I've attended more dinners, more Rector's Dinners than the Rector's. So.
There you go.
When you think about it. But no, it's a wonderful event. It's basically a fundraising event for the college for any new improvements they might have to make and so forth. So you've got, you know, a cardinal's table, the head table, the ambassador's table. Then they go just, you know, in a flash. I'm a guest at the Turicchi, Lynette and Scott Turicchi table. And it's always a remarkable evening, just the guests you see alone. If you
right.
don't do anything other than watch people and talk to your friends, it's an amazing get-together.
Now, if people don't know what the North American College is all about, give us a brief description of it, Joan, if you
it's
would.
It's literally the American Seminary in Rome,
mm-hmm.
and North American in the sense that there also are Canadians who attend seminary at NAC. And the full name is PNAC, Pontifical North American College.
Right.
It's just a lot easier to say NAC than PNAC.
Mm-hmm.
and then there are also usually a number of Australians who anywhere, maybe a dozen sometimes Australians who attend. So they attend courses at Roman Pontifical Universities, like the one I'm sitting outside of, the Santa Croce. More
mm-hmm.
often than not, they probably go to the Gregorian, the Jesuit-run Gregorian University, or even San Tommaso, St. Thomas Aquinas University, the angelic doctor, and the university is called the Angelicum. Those are probably but some of them frequent Santa Croce. That is, it's a very well-known university run by Opus Dei. And so the young men spend their time in Rome. Many of their classes and so forth are at the North American College. And with the new building that's a little over a year old, they have additional space, not so much for rooms, but for bedrooms and so forth, but for classes, for libraries, they have practice chapels, because here's these young men who have to learn how to say the Mass, and there will be practice chapels where they'll do practice Mass. Sounds like when we were kids, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then they practice homilies and so forth and so on. So lots of beautiful spaces there with this new addition. And but I mean, they're full, Teresa. There's something like 272 seminarians.
Yeah, that's great.
And so we're not even counting the staff you know, anybody that works there. I mean, whether it's gardeners or the rector, there's a huge staff. And by the way, an important part about tomorrow night's dinner is the fact that the seminarians play a huge role in this. They practice for about a week before mm-hmm. dinner, and they serve the dinner. They're obviously wearing their Roman collar and everything, but with their big white towels over their over their arms, they will serve the food. Somebody else, you know, a specific group for the water and wine, and they serve at the before dinner. There's a reception where you meet the guest of honor, and they provide some, you know, little music for that, and then they provide the main entertainment for the evening.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful event. And before we let you go, I just wanted to ask you one quick question about the Pope, because we have Doug who's on hold, and we're going to talk about this fantastic resolution that was passed in Montgomery, Alabama yesterday in honor of Mother Angelica, which is so great. But the Pope, according to the Greek Orthodox Church, is supposed to be visiting that part of the world on April 14th and 15th, which would be next weekend. But they say the Vatican has not yet confirmed it. Apparently, it is
about the
refugees.
Oh, yes, exactly. And actually, according to, now I'm trying to remember where I read this just this morning, the news is that the Pope had actually asked for this. The more he was informed about what was happening for refugees, especially on the Greek island of Lesbos, and refugees trying to get to Turkey and being turned away, or other countries and being turned away. I think it's only intended to be a few hours, one or two more, half a day, something like that. But one or two media outlets have implied that it's going to be the 14th and 15th. I think it's going to be one of those two, but only a fly down and fly back. I'm not sure how many hours that would be. I mean, I think you're talking, you know, a 3-plus-hour flight.
Right.
So, by the way, what the Pope did do today, which is so gorgeous, and I have some video I'll try to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
The Pope did meet this little 5-year-old American girl from Ohio.
I had that story in my newscast. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely beautiful. He spent such quality time with her, and she's just a doll. But he held her and hugged her and blessed her and put his hands on both of her eyes. And she was standing up, and then when she thought everything was over, she sat down right there in this chair. And then he was talking to her parents, who had brought her, because they want her to literally see as much as she can of what she should see in the world. And of course, I wrote to one colleague. I said, the Pope putting both of his hands on her eyes, I said, I'm going to pray for a miracle.
Me too. I was just thinking that. Wow, beautiful story. Yeah. Joan, thanks. We're going to let you go, sweetie. And thanks for your great insight and the local color commentary on where you're actually sitting and the experiences you have. And we look forward
to it. We got to do it more often.
Yes. And there's actually, we were talking during the break, folks, there's a great little wine bar that Joan and I, we have a tradition when we get together, is that we have a glass of Prosecco in Piazza Navona, sit there and watch all the people and the painters and all the entertainment when that amazing piazza with all the Bernini fountains. And we go around the corner to one of our other favorite restaurantes in Roma, and that would be La Scaletta, right behind the St. Agnes Church.
And Prosecco, of course, I don't know how many people know, it's quite medicinal.
There you go. There you go.
That's how it's seen here, yes.
That's what I say, anyway. Yeah. All right, girlfriend, have a great time at the NAC.
God bless
and John Hale from Corporate Travel is going to be there, so make sure you say hi to him for me, and then we'll get a full report.
And Michael Morsaw.
Oh, that's right. Michael will be there, too. Okay, well, make sure you tell him we said hello, and we'll expect a full report next week.
All righty.
All right, honey. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Joan Lewis, of course, reporting from Rome. And up next, we are going to wrap things up with Doug Keck, COO of EWTN, on this fantastic resolution honoring Mother Angelica. You go, girl. We'll be right back.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we adopt this resolution with co-sponsors.
All right. The gentleman, Mr. Shedd, now moves to suspend the rules and for immediate adoption and also for all members to be added as co-sponsors. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. And the motion carries and all members are listed as co-sponsors.
And that was sound from the state legislature in Alabama yesterday passing a special resolution honoring the one, the only Mother Mary Angelica. Very exciting, and of course, a follow-up to the incredible coverage that we provided for you last week, if I do so, say so myself, on both radio, TV, the Internet, and of course, all of our news outlets, whether it's EWTN News Nightly, Catholic News Agency, the National Catholic Register, EWTNNews.com, all of the above. It was quite a week, and Doug, what a nice way to kind of wrap up that coverage with this resolution yesterday. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, that's terrific. Thanks for having me. Really, I mean, I think you nailed it on the head. I think it went as perfectly as we could have prayed that it had gone, and I'm sure that we got some help from Mother Angelica from the other side already. How thin the veil is, and you know that it really went as well as we would have wanted it to. I think it was something that showed the great love not only the people at EWTN have for Mother Angelica, but also the great love of all the people who are part of the greater EWTN family, and really shows the her ability to have basically a personal relationship with people in their own home through the media. It's amazing kind of situation. She has the ability to do that. And I think it was evident by all the outpouring of people last week, certainly the emails we continue to get from all over the world, literally, and from clerics and bishops, as well as priests who, you know, credit her with their vocation, etc. So it's her work has just begun. I think that's what we have to keep saying to ourselves is, you know, this is not the end of her mission. This is just a continuation and another phase of her mission.
Edward Penton had a really good piece yesterday on the National Catholic Register website about the influence of Mother around the world and interviewing some bishops in some very far-off places, and we're working on getting him on the show to kind of go over that. But it is incredible, Doug, what he was talking about and the quotes he had from the clerics around the world.
Right. Again, I think that with many of these things, we don't realize who we're reaching and touching, whether it be in the house next door that we may be living in, who may be watching EW10 and we have no clue, the person we're walking by in the supermarket, we have no idea what they're listening to in their car, it's EW10, and whether that's next door or, you know, in Peking or something, or in Beijing or in Rangoon, wherever. It's amazing where people, we recently got someone who was listening to our Spanish feed in Siberia.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So we, you know, again, you never know the impact. Mother always used to say, our job is to get the message out there. It's God's job to get it into people's hearts and minds. And so the idea of bathing, and I think Ray mentioned it on one of our shows last week, the idea of bathing the world with the truth, and that idea of showering the world with that, God will find a way to get that into people's hearts and souls. And it's amazing how people are touched. And I'm a great believer that there's many, many people who've been touched by EWTN and Mother Angelica's work over the years that have not told anybody about it, have done it, you know, in the privacy of their home or through Catholic radio. No one knows what you're listening to in the car. So it's a great stealth evangelization. We always talk about stealth evangelization.
Right.
I think we are stealth evangelization. I think you know, there's plenty of people out there, and the more people connect to the family, the more they realize they're not alone. I think the more people are willing to step out in faith.
Now, I did notice a lot of images on the internet last week and this week in the state of Alabama, a lot of restaurants and businesses mm-hmm. putting up tributes to Mother on marquees, which I thought was really neat.
Well, you know, Alabama is the most religious state in the country. You know, coming from the New York, you know, where unfortunately at one time, and there still are Catholic churches on every corner, but it's incredibly secular.
Right.
It's a very, you know, Christian religious place. And I think Mother Angelica really over the years broke down plenty of barriers, mm-hmm. just like she did with so many other people. She did with the local people in Alabama, the Baptists and the Methodists, and she was always very good. She used to do things in her early days that were ecumenical, that were, you know, give talks at the Episcopal Church, etc. So she did a lot of that work. And I think over the years, this, you know, people got to know her and realized, you know, what a great person she was, and that how much the sisters cared about Alabama, cared about where they live. I think, you know, building the monastery and inviting people to come up and visit. She had an open house for the locals. She wanted people to see what it was all about. And so I think she really reached out to people, and people, when they connected with her, you know, it didn't matter that she was a Catholic cloistered nun. And so I think that she just transcended any of those kind of demarcations, and the people here really, really did embrace her.
Doug, thanks, and we'll talk to you folks tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.